This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Schoaf went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I'm taking a random picture, zoomed in, and there it was. There was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
Another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where, well, we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unusual, the unspecified.
Hey, I think you used unspecified before.
Did I? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm running out of words here.
So, Johnny and Billy here, and on the line with us, very special guest. We've talked about him in the past, and we actually have him on the phone with us, Mr. George Anderson.
How do, everybody out there in listening land?
Hi, George. It's very exciting to have you on the show.
Thank you kindly.
Okay, if someone's not familiar with George Anderson or the abilities, I like to call it, that you have, what would you call the abilities that you possess?
I would basically, treating it with the utmost respect, look upon it as a ability to communicate with those who have passed on. And I use it specifically where I think it's most effective in using it in regards to people who have had a personal loss. And thus the person that you've had the loss over becomes part of the healing process. But of course, this, we all know there's no cure for grief except to have your loved one or your pet back. This at least, this doesn't provide the cure, but I would hope that it does provide hope and maybe just take the bite off, especially parents who have lost their children. You know, I can say what I can come through with a million times, but the bottom line is, and of course I would understand it also, they just want their children back. And, you know, individuals in my own life, you know, in a sense I do feel sorry for them because they don't see it from my point of view, in the sense of I feel I know where they are and that they're all right and in a happy place. And certainly not every soul that passes on when they get there is tickled pink necessarily. Some of them, they may resent it at first or not happy about what happened, but they certainly still have their love and feelings toward us. Especially in the sense of, yes, they can get frustrated when they see ordeals or difficulties we are going through here. And even though they have said on numerous occasions, they can help us to help ourselves. Ultimately, everything is up to us. The decision. They've said to me so many times they can't wave a magic wand over there and make things go the way that we would like, which I'm sure many people will feel a frustration about. And I think that's also a misconception that society has presented us with in regards to the transition we call death. People can be under the impression that once you pass on, you know everything, and there's numerous souls who have come through and told me that they certainly, since they passed on, still do not understand nuclear physics. And, again, even society sometimes, not that it's a blame, but society conditions us to the way death is supposed to go. You know, grandpa goes first, then grandma, then dad, then mom, then the children accordingly. So anything that upsets that apple cart can certainly throw us here out of orbit. Again, perfect example, loss of a child. I know plenty of men who are widowers, who were under the impression that they certainly would pass before their wives, and they didn't. And they're complete wrecks without their wife being here. And even though I can assure them, and through evidences during a session, that their wife is closer to them than they can imagine, it's always the wife, so to speak, that will say that, you know, I don't get it either. And it certainly can be a frustration. It's the souls over there encourage us, no matter what, to move on and keep going forward, because each day is one day less, one day closer. And, you know, the same too, people don't understand, like the loss of a pet can be a heartbreaker. There's numerous people out there, such as myself, who prefer animals over people. And I was very glad this morning when I got up to find one of the stray cats I take care of hadn't been around to the house for a day or so. And I started to worry about him. And then, of course, this morning called him, and he came out of his little house, and I was just so glad to see him. And so, again, being able to make his life a little bit easier here, because they have a tough enough time as it is, can bring such joy to me or to any individual who does something like that.
So when did you know you had this ability?
Well, actually, around the age of 5, 6, now that I can't remember all the medical terms, but I had a very bad bout of chicken pox to the point where it caused muscle paralysis. I wasn't able to walk for a period of time. And I do recall my mother stating that, you know, at one point they thought I was on the way out. And fortunately, survived it and got a nice big bout of shingles from it when I was in my 30s, but was able to get back to normal. And after Woods, it seemed, that the ability appeared. And again, I was brought up in a very strict, both dogmatically and spiritually, Roman Catholic household. And naturally, things of this nature are not discussed. You know, what people don't understand, it's always critiqued or referred to as the work of the devil or an evil spirit. And the thing that I always found amazing, not that I'm putting myself in their class, but studying the lives of the saints, so many saints were just ordinary people who did extraordinary things. And in my case, you know, people say to me sometimes, you know, wow, how does it feel to be famous? And I answer them honestly. To me, it's just a paint job. I'm just a normal guy who who happens to have this ability. But as I make sure people understand, I'm merely the instrument, you know, in myself, I'm nothing. And use it, yes, for the purpose of my livelihood, but also to maybe make, even for a moment, a difference in someone's life when dealing with loss.
So this gift that you have, is it something that you have to work hard at? Or does it just come naturally to you?
It really just comes naturally. Like the song in Annie, Get Your Gun, doing what comes naturally. it's just basically, you know, when I know I have to work, I work. Same as I'm sure you all do the same when you know you have to do a broadcast, you know, you get yourself into that mode, into that frame of mind of what you have to do and accomplish. And with me, it just, you know, happens. I would say I'm probably my own worst skeptic because, and I think maybe that's a bit of not being fair to the ability on my part because I constantly try to get it to work the way I think it should. And it does work the way it works. So sometimes, you know, this is why anytime I do any type of a session, I have to start with completely no knowledge of the person I'm doing the session for. And I always express to people to just say, you know, that you understand and let your loved ones take over. Because if you start feeding me information or asking me questions, and I happen to hear that from them over there, my skeptical, or probably in this case cynical, side of the brain will say, well, she mentioned that already, so that's just bull. And it's, you know, it's tough to deal with only in the sense of it not working the way that I think it should. And I think sometimes people, I'm sure not everybody who comes to me for a session leaves whistling Dixie. There are people who themselves, I'll always say, kind of screw up their own session because they expect a particular individual to come or something particular to be said, and it's not going to work the way they think it should either. And I think that puts a hindrance on the souls in the hereafter. And trying to get people to, you know, everybody thinks they all have the answers, I'm sure including myself, but coming to the realization, as I said, it works the way it's supposed to work. If it doesn't work the way you think it should, well, there's nothing I can do about that, you know, because it certainly doesn't work the way I think it should.
Now, I want to get the information on how to book a session with you. I know you have a tour coming up and also the books that you've written here in a moment. I noticed that you have a pad and pen when you're doing your readings, but you're not writing anything. It's like,
yeah,
you're scribbling.
Yeah, I could write down some of the things I'm hearing or whatever, but basically it's just a form of distraction. I used to, or maybe a visual, you know, scribble on a piece of paper just as a form of distraction. Some scientist slash doctor had suggested to me years ago that that might be helpful in the fact that it's distracting a certain part of the brain. There are, you know, definitely how it works off the brain. It amazes me, and I don't say that out of conceit, but it amazes me how they, meaning the souls, how do they know how to get in my brain and use it like a file cabinet and show me something that will answer what I may be struggling with, or it's just amazing how they know how to do that. And I think that's the key. It must be, unquestionably, some sort of electromagnetic energy. And sometimes I wonder if, you know, our loved ones know that the session is about to take place, because they may come to me even before I go to work, so to speak, and tell me to remember something. And, of course, I forget, and then they'll remind me. Sometimes I may be sitting up late at night watching an old movie or such, and, you know, days later they'll bring that up. And I'll sit, think to myself, well, how did you know what I was doing the other night? It has a purpose to it. It's something that I'm familiar with. It's evident if I could become more intelligent, it probably would work even more profoundly. Naturally, if someone from the hereafter comes forward and is speaking Chinese to me, I'm going to say, well, I hear another language, but I don't know what it is. There have been times where people will, you know, the souls will bring something through, and it just amazes me, like, how did they know that things that happened like 30 and 40 years ago, which makes me feel that the brain must be very much like a computer, a file cabinet, where this information is stored in a brain cell, and they know how to get to it, you know, bring me in the direction of where they're trying to get me to understand something. It is, you know, it's certainly, years ago I had an experiment done at the Interfaith Hospital in New York City by a neurologist, and they hooked me up with those things all on your head and whatever. The only thing he asked me to do is, so nothing would disturb the monitor, he said, would you be able to just lay still? And I said, yes, I'm sure it's still going to work. During a session I was doing, he kept saying to me, George, can you hear me? I'm saying, yes. He's saying, are you awake? And I'm, yes. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell does he keep asking me this for? You know, I haven't fallen asleep. What was intriguing him, unbeknownst to me, was that as soon as I started the session, the brain wave was showing I was in the dream state. And as soon as I said, they're getting ready to pull back now, I can feel them pulling away from me, it would go back up to the normal awake state.
Wow.
And that's why he kept asking me, are you awake? Can you hear me? You know, do you hear me moving in the room? I'm like, yes. I just wanted to say to him, you know, did you have too much to drink or something today? In the, I believe it was the second book, We Are Not Forgotten, that at the end, the experiment is written about and talked about in the book. Another thing that seemed to interest the neurologist was he claimed a part of my brain would light up while I was doing it. Ironically, they call it, I can't remember exactly where it was, so I didn't even want to guess at it, but he said they ironically call it the dead zone, because they don't know the purpose of it. Yet, once I would stop, it would go away. I think that's, as I said, what makes me so fascinated by how they know how to do it from over there. I always tell people to try to make sure they acknowledge out loud, because it does seem your loved ones like to hear your voice, or certainly helps. You know, all of these things, I could go through years of unusual sessions and situations and ones I've almost gotten myself into trouble with because of being skeptical with it, not believing what I was hearing, and then finding out, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But again, I can remember years ago, this man had come to see me. This is when I was first starting out. This woman, I felt, I don't see them like, say, I would be seeing you if you were standing in front of me. Sometimes, yes, most of the time, no. It was more of a feeling. And this woman appeared next to him, and she said that he was involved in a dreadful legal situation, and I brought that up, and he said yes, and he said, what makes you say that? And I just said it very off the cuff. I just said, well, there's this lady next to you that just called you a son of a bitch and said you murdered her.
Whoa.
And this guy freaked. And I, of course, at that time was being so cynical about the ability, just figured, you know, this man's going to laugh in my face. Well, let's say he didn't. He was involved in a dreadful legal situation where he was being accused of this woman's murder. And then he, she told me what her name was, and that astounded him. And after that, I had started getting, you know, threatening phone calls, I guess, where, you know, somebody was saying they had a bullet with my name on it and all this. It probably was just a prank, but I wasn't sure. So finally I thought to myself, maybe I should report this to the local police precinct, and I did. And, you know, fortunately the police officer who came to the house was extremely courteous and nice. You know, that he admitted to me afterwards there was a part of him thought, like, what's going on here? But there were circumstances about the case that he said he remembered, he had heard about, and he eventually contacted another police department, the New York City Police Department, where this man was from, and they jumped all over me because they had done a profile on him that he would be the type of individual that would try to communicate with the so-called dead, to the point where they left concealed on around this woman's grave an active tape recorder, thinking that he might go to her gravesite and say something out loud. So I never know, I don't know what became of the case, but, you know, at the time I was, you know, subpoenaed by the New York grand jury, but I had to be, you know, really put me into an awkward position because, you know, every session is guaranteed to be private and confidential. It's like going to the priest to confession. But only because I had been receiving threats is where I figured I had to do something, not only protect myself, but family as well. But this man, obviously, every time the police contacted him, you know, for questioning, he brought a lawyer, and to this day, I don't know what happened. But something like that, you know, as I said, it just came out of nowhere, and I just thought it was a bunch of bull. And just to shut this guy up, I said what this woman was saying and expected him to laugh in my face, and he nearly had a stroke.
More with medium George Anderson, his upcoming tour, how to get his books, and how to get your own reading. That's coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
So we're talking with medium George Anderson, who talks to those on the other side, those who have passed on. Now, is that okay to call you a medium?
Yeah, I would think so. Most people can relate to that. You know, an intermediary. I just look upon myself as I said earlier, the instrument who has this ability. Again, because you'll always get people saying, well, you know, it's evil, it's the devil's work because the Bible says this or says that. And I always tell people I'm not a fundamentalist, never will be a fundamentalist. So I don't have that type of belief system, even though, you know, organized religion, I always love when people cherry pick through the Bible and
figure
out what they want to apply to life. Although I consider myself a very spiritual individual, I wouldn't consider myself religious. And this is just my opinion, but I do believe organized religions are the world's troublemakers. All you have to do is look around, you can see it for yourself.
Bang!
I agree with you 100%.
So you have a different approach. Now, I'm not comparing you to anybody. You tell people, don't tell me anything.
Usually prefer they say yes, no, or they understand.
Yeah, and let them do the work. You let the spirits do the work.
First of all, anybody out there who claims they're doing this, if they start to question you, that would immediately put up a red flag with me. Like, who do you want to hear from? Do you want to hear from a male or a female? Well, I've come to you for the appointment, so you tell me. This way, certain things that are stated, I know that they're coming genuinely from the person's loved one. I mean, I can also screw things up, too, by putting in something from what I've shown. I remember one time doing a session where this woman had lost her son. He kept showing me, and, you know, people always ask this, why don't they just come out and say it? Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do it whatever way they do it. And her son kept showing me Walt Disney World. And, of course, I start going through in my head Disney characters, names. Everything was no, 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 you know what I'm saying? So finally, the guy lost his patience with me from over there, which is okay. I grew up in an impatient household, so his behavior is normal. And he said to me, why can't you just tell her what I showed you? So finally I said to the woman, your son's flipping out and is getting very annoyed at me because I didn't tell you what he showed me originally. And I said, he kept showing me Walt Disney World, and I don't know what he's trying to tell me. And she immediately said yes, because it turned out her son's name was Orlando.
Oh.
And, of course, me, I tried Donald, I tried Mickey, you know, Mike. I tried everything I could think of, assuming that's the problem. Once my logical or reasonable part of the brain starts to step in, that's where the confusion can start. So many times, instead of me interpreting what I think they're trying to tell me, I just go ahead and say, well, they're showing me this. Do you understand? Because they do come to us assuming we know what they're talking about, not about everything. But that's why many times you'll just hear me say, do you understand? And if they say yes, I say, okay, mission accomplished. I'll keep my mouth shut. You know, so sometimes, yes, they can, you know, lose their patience over there or get very frustrated with me because, again, I'm trying to bend it to work the way I think it should, or I think I have it figured out. For example, a sister can mean a sister, and I never think it can also mean a sister-in-law. A lot of times they're not so formal. They'll just come forward as a sister. I remember one time doing a session for a young man, kept getting someone coming to him as mom. So, of course, if you were me, you would assume his mother passed away. And that's what I assumed, and he told me no. I was glad I spoke up because it's, well, wait a minute. Then something's wrong here. There's a female presence around you who's coming to you as mom. And if your mom hasn't passed on, then I must be losing my mind. And he said to me, no. He says, I know exactly what's happening. Just keep going, which I did. I didn't ask him anything until after the session. I was so curious. I said, if your mother hasn't passed on, who was this lady who kept coming to you as a mother? He said to me that when he was a youngster, him and his siblings had been abandoned by the parents, and he had been raised by an older sister who he looked upon as his mom.
Mm.
So they're reaching out in the emotional sense, knowing that he'll understand, even though I don't get it. And another session, one time I recall that to this day, you know, but who would think this? Somebody's dad came through, I believe, and he kept saying that Mama was with him. And, of course, if you were me, the most logical explanation would be that his wife or your mother's passed on. So, of course, I came out and said, oh, and your mother's with him also. And the subject said no. And I said, well, I don't understand. And I finally, in frustration, came out and said, look, I don't know what this means, and it's driving me crazy. Your dad keeps saying Mama is with him. You get it? And he said yes. And again, after the session, I asked him to clarify that because it wasn't really clarified. Mama was the pet cat that they had lost.
Oh.
And her name was Mama. Now, who would, you know, again, is sometimes I try my best now to get out of my own way. And yet, you know, not every session I would say, you know, I basically, there's been a few times I've blown my cool with people because me, like, I don't give a rat's rear end about, but definitely expect you to show respect and reverence toward the ability, the different saints that come through, you know, the souls in the hereafter, all that. If you're going to be disrespectful to that, then my temper's going to flare.
Yeah.
And trust me, I can use language that would make a sailor blush. And not the least bit ashamed about it. And so sometimes, you know, this isn't namely something for everyone. And, you know, again, people just, you know, trying to make it work the way they think it should is really the worst way to approach it, as I've learned on numerous occasions.
Have you ever been in public, like at the grocery store, you're in the checkout line, and those from the other side come out and try to get your attention, or just about, I don't know, maybe somebody in the checkout line with you? Anything like that?
Actually, I'm very happy to tell you no. Because, now, naturally, friends of mine, who I have a friendship relationship with, their loved ones can come to me and say, you know, XYZ, and I can give them the message. But I'm also very respectful, personally, of how the ability should work. It, to me, it has to be a respectful atmosphere, same as when I attend someone's wake or funeral, I don't show up in a t-shirt, flip-flops, and a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
You know, you wear a jacket and tie, you dress respectfully, you look appropriately. And so if I'm in the local Subway, meaning the sandwich shop, somebody, to me, it wouldn't happen because to me that would not be a respectful location for what's going on. I remember years ago, it really frustrated me being on one of the book tours, and I was in the bookstore. Normally, they would have a particular area set aside for authors. This particular bookstore had me next to their refreshment stand with the cappuccino machine going off every second, and I was ready to explode because it's not the proper atmosphere for the ability to work, as I said, any more than dressing disrespectfully, you know, going to someone's wake or funeral.
Now, speaking of books, your latest books, Life Between Heaven and Earth, are those readings?
It certainly is focused on sessions that have been done and also what our loved ones in the hereafter have taught and helped us to understand. For the people listening to your program, I hate to rain on your parade, but they don't know it all over there. they also, many times people will say, I feel I don't get signs from them. And I always say, just like you do things your way here, it does seem to be the same there. They still will do things their way. And sometimes somebody can be looking so hard for a sign that you actually overlook it. Also, they expect something particular, you know, to come through. I said, if you're expecting to come and hit you over the head with a brick, it's not going to happen. Well, we wouldn't want it to anyway. Again, I certainly don't have all the answers any more than anyone else. Until they're ready to handle it, or as I said, do it their way, it's not necessarily going to happen the way we would like. Most people are really not afraid of the actual transition we call death. They're really afraid more so of what's going to lead up to it. Because a best pal, his mom passed on 2 years ago, this past March. She told him of a dream she had had a month before she passed, whereas her sister, her biological mother, and her aunt, who had raised her as her mother, because her mom had passed on when she was very young, came to her in a dream. They said to her, we're going to be coming for you soon. Don't be afraid. And she told him about the dream, and the following month, she had come home from the hospital, and she went to sleep and passed away at home comfortably in her sleep. I always found that experience to be so touching and so nice to hear that they came to her and said, don't be afraid, we're going to be coming for you soon. Another friend of mine, her dad, when he passed, she had a dream about her paternal grandmother who came to her and said, I'm going to be coming for your father soon. I just want to let you know. And she just, you know, put it off as a dream. And when they hadn't heard from him for a while and checked in on him, they found that he had passed away in the house. So sometimes our loved ones will give us a heads up and let us know that they're coming for a particular individual or such. I think it's great that they do that. See, I see that as very compassionate and comforting and reassuring. Maybe some people wouldn't, but I think that's a very nice thing that they'll do there. And even many of the individuals who have been sainted in the Catholic Church, they will come in sessions frequently, and they do so that even though, and I give them the title that they earned, whether somebody believes in that title or not, it's my personal preference. One time I thought to myself, if they've been sainted, why are they still around here, so to speak? They have said to me that they, even though they've been sainted by the church, and they certainly are not going around, you know, tooting their own horns over there, they still are so attached in a loving way with the divine presence that they still want to do things for us here and others there to bring to them that, you know, love and joyfulness of the divine presence. I think, you know, that's their decision. It's their job, so to speak. And people can select work over there of their own choice. Some people have told me they work with animals both there and here. I recall parents I had had for a session whose daughter had passed on, unfortunately, but was quite enthusiastic from over there, that she said she finally had landed the job she always wanted, which was working with animals, and she didn't have to spend 400 years in school to achieve that, that it just comes from the heart. And one thing I thought was very good is that she also said that at times she would go to animal shelters and would just be there with the animals, but would, if someone was coming to adopt a pet, she would try to impress them. She can't force them, but she would try to impress them to adopt a certain pet so that it get to a loving home. That's also too a big no-no from over there. The souls in the hereafter do not appreciate cruelty to animals. They're real, that's, I always tell people, not my place to say, but bad karma. And it will come back on you. And that's one thing I've noticed. You know, those things we've been taught with what goes around comes around and all that. I've seen it in action way too many times. And sometimes it may take X amount of years, but sooner or later, Mother Karma will come around and bite you on your rear end, but good, and it's just, you know, the natural law. It's the universal law. That's why everything's in a circle. What goes around comes around, including the planet. But these things are not done necessarily to be cruel or to punish someone. It's to teach them, to help them, to help themselves, to realize what was said or done is not the right thing to do. Nobody over there, you know, points a finger at you and says, XYZ, you're in trouble for this. You have, it's all about you. You have to learn it for yourself. We're always in the driver's seat. It's like the second to last scene in the movie The Wizard of Oz, which I'm sure we've all seen 100 times, where the Scarecrow says, that's so easy, I should have thought of it for you. And the Good Witch says, no, she had to learn it for herself. And that's ultimately the rule. Keep in mind that you're always in the driver's seat and always in control and in a growth stage.
Now, in November, you have a 3-week tour in Australia. Are you going to do a tour here in the States?
Nothing has been planned in the near future. I will be honest with you, not that I'm afraid of flying, but normally after 2 hours on a plane, I start to get the heebie-jeebies. As I'm sure you know, this is going to be quite a lengthy flight. I'm sure in the future, I probably will start to do more appearances in different major cities across the U.S., particularly the warmer ones in the winter time, because I'm not a fan of the winter. But whatever comes to pass, we'll see what will happen.
But you still do sessions, though. Like, I could call you and do a session with you?
Yes, I still do sessions, whether it be in person for those people who don't mind traveling to Long Island, or certainly via phone as well. The only difference really is you don't get to see my mug if you decide to do it by telephone. You can sit in the comfort of your home, just like I can sit in the comfort of my office and stay home with the cats and do it. So definitely still do them in any case.
How would I book a session with you?
Well, most people can just go on. I'm not too smart with the computer, so bear with me. Go on the website, georgeanderson.com, and find out, you know, what dates are available and whatever and what the cost is, and you can book it. We've set up recently where they can be booked by credit card. People can send in and such. You know, most people say the prices aren't cheap, but to be perfectly honest with you, I can't live on hope.
Yeah, and plus, right. I mean, you're offering a service that not a lot of people, if any, legitimately have. You've been scientifically tested at this.
Yes, and I mean, I do also have a foundation that is for people who honestly cannot afford it. But the waiting list is so long, by the time you hit it on the waiting list, you probably could put X amount of dollars aside every week until finally you were able to, you know, build up the fee.
Yeah, save up for it.
But the thing is, you know, somebody had said to me, I don't charge what I used to charge. I said, well, you know, do you make the same salary now that you did then? And, you know, I mean, I have expenses. I have people's salaries to pay. I have health insurance. Well, now Medicare, but it still costs money. I thought Medicare was free. What a surprise I got. We all know the government doesn't give us anything for free.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, income tax, quarterly taxes, state tax, you know, this all has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I certainly wish I could go out in the backyard and pick it off a tree, but unfortunately not able to.
Hey, we're all for, you know, the American dream.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and things, you know, have an expense. As I said, I have people's salaries and, you know, and you know the government as well as I do. You don't pay those taxes. They're on your rear end.
That's right.
Like so, a bat out of you-know-where.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, it's been quite a pleasure speaking with both of you.
Yes, thank you very much. Oh, and my wife is a big fan of yours.
Oh,
and she just
kindly
wanted me to say hi to you for her.
Oh, tell her I return the compliment.
All right.
But remember, I'm just the instrument.
Yeah, and your latest book, Life Between Heaven and Earth, you can get that through georgeanderson.com. You can get your mini e-book that I don't think we talked about What Souls Have Taught Me About Reincarnation.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get that e-book on Amazon, and you can be followed. You can be stalked on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, right?
Yep, all of those.
And
it's just that I've never used an ATM machine in my life, so... That might give you an idea of how technical I am.
Well, we appreciate the time, and I can't speak on behalf of Bill, but I think I'm pretty safe to say that we both appreciate the gift that you are sharing with all of us.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, thank you very much. Certainly. Well, I look at it that it is my vocation. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I know I'm going to be hitting your website, booking a session myself, so I don't know about Bill here. He's halfway there anyway, so.
Okay. That's nice.
I mean that with the utmost respect of your talents and them. It was just a joke between me and Bill. He's died.
No,
he's
course,
already
yeah.
died a couple times.
I've had several near-death experiences. And
oh, my.
I've been to the other side, and it's very vivid, the memories. And
yeah, so
yeah.
That's why people always want to stay there. And hate to be told they have to go back.
Yes.
Well, we're going to let you go, sir.
Okay, thank you kindly, guys. It was
thank
a pleasure
you, George.
Speaking with both of you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was medium George Anderson. I was trying not to be, like, starstruck because I'm a really big fan of his.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of fakers out there, but I think he's the real deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's the real thing. You know, he's not faking it. He doesn't have... You know, a gimmick.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. We hope you enjoyed our interview with George Anderson. And if you want more information or to book a session with him, all that, georgeanderson.com or George Anderson Medium, our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I think that's how you search for him. If you want to listen to back episodes of Strange Harbor, if you want to contact us and yell at Bill, it's strangeharbor.net.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Alien Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.